We've been on a journey with the nation of Israel. We have traveled with them out of their captivity in Egypt, crossed the Red Sea to Mount Sinai, where God had a plan for them that He revealed to them. And then we traveled with them to Jerusalem, where they have taken possession of the Promised Land and living in Jerusalem. And last week we witnessed Israel rising up to be a world power behind the leadership and the rule of Solomon. But along the way, they made a lot of mistakes. King Solomon made a lot of mistakes. The scriptures have a very simple and direct message for us. God hears and responds to the cry of the hurting. God cares about His creation. He cares about human suffering and the conditions that cause it. And He is searching for a body. He is searching for a people to represent Him, to speak on His behalf, to fight for His name. And that was supposed to be Israel. And Solomon, as the king over Israel, was supposed to lead that charge in helping Israel fight for God and represent God and His interests on earth. God is somebody who cares. This is what God is like. This is what God is about. This is who God is. It's why He sent His Son to earth. If you look at the motivation, the reasoning for that, we know that we're not worthy. We understand that we're sinful. Still yet, we see what God has done. We see this gift, the grace that has been poured out on our behalf. And it's all because God cares. He cares about us. He cares about His creation. To forget this, to fail to hear the cry of the hurting today, to fail to reach out and help people who are in need, is to miss what God has in mind. And at the top of the list of needs for all humanity, it's salvation. There's nothing that's more important. There's nothing that's more pressing. Nothing that's more vital than salvation. And for us as the Lord's body, we need to hear the cry of those who need Jesus. We need to hear the cry of the hurting, those who are oppressed by sin, captive by Satan. Israel forgot all of this. They forgot their purpose. They forgot what they were supposed to be doing. At the height of their power, Israel misconstrued the blessings that they had as favoritism and entitlement. They thought they deserved that. They thought they were blessed because of who they were. They thought they had all of these things because, well, that's just who they were. They weren't blessed because of who they were. They were blessed because of who God is. And they forgot that. They became indifferent to God's plan, God's purpose, God's mission for their lives. They failed to embrace their priestly calling to represent Him, to fight on His behalf. And there's a word for this. There's a word that explains what happens, that describes what takes place when we forget to be who God has called us to be. There's a word that describes a group of people who don't embrace or fulfill their purpose. A word for what happens when you forget the source of your blessings. A word for what happens when you fail to use your influence for God. And that word is exile. Exile is what happens when you forget your story. Isn't that what happened to Israel? They forgot their story. We all have stories. We all have our past lives. We have hometowns where we came from. We have our own personal experiences. I could sit and talk for hours about growing up where I grew up. Shannon could do the same thing about where she grew up. We have stories, things that took place, events that happened in our lives, things that shaped us, people that shaped us. Everybody has a story. Israel's story centered on their freedom from Egypt. You were slaves and now you're free. That happened because of God. And they forgot that. They forgot this central part of their story. Exile is also what happens when you forget God. And this really sums up, this gives us a picture of where Israel was, even while in Jerusalem, here at the height of their power. They forgot their story, they forgot who they were, and they forgot who God was. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, it's a prophecy of sorts, a prediction Because what Moses says to the Israelites as a warning, this became their reality. This is exactly what happened to them. Then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers. And that's where we found them last week with King Solomon ruling over them. They were in their land. They had been rescued out of Egypt. They had traveled to Sinai. They had spent the time wandering in the wilderness. But then they finally came to the land. And Solomon was ruling. And Moses warns them, this land which God swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he would give that to you. He gave you these great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied. That phrase describes what happened to Israel. They were satisfied, at least physically. They were satisfied with the empire that in their minds they had built. They were satisfied that they had become the world's leading superpower. They were satisfied with all of these things. All of these things that were given to them by God. They looked at themselves and they thought, look how great we are. Look at what we've done. Look at what we've accomplished. And they were satisfied. Then watch yourself, Moses warns. Take a look at yourself, that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Don't forget your story. Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget what the Lord did for you. Moses warned Israel of this exact possibility. He warned them, hey guys, you will be tempted to forget. You'll be tempted to forget what God has done for you. Notice specifically the language in verse 12. Watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 32, here's the message from a prophet. A prophet who was reaching out to the nation of Judah. A prophet who saw what was happening. A prophet who knew what was going to take place if they didn't change. And so Jeremiah the prophet, he has a message for God's people. A message directly from God. Can a virgin forget her ornaments? Or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me. Days without number. The very thing that Moses warned against. Watch yourselves. When you get to this land and you're satisfied, watch yourselves that you don't forget God. And here comes the prophet. You've forgotten me days without number. Jeremiah reveals this tragic reality in his plea to Judah. A nation blessed unlike any other nation. A nation rescued by God. A nation commissioned by God. A nation extended God's hand in marriage. Had forgotten him days without number. And it's not a coincidence that Jeremiah uses marriage language to describe their condition. Because what God wanted to enter into with Israel at Sinai was a marriage relationship. A union between the divine and the human. This marriage relationship that would be based on trust, that would be based on faithfulness. And they had all out forgotten him. And what was the result? Well, they were a nation in exile. Even before they ended up in Babylon, even before Babylon came in and took possession of Israel, they were a nation in exile. You see, exile isn't about location. It's not about being a slave in Egypt or Assyria or Babylonia. Exile is about the state of your soul. Exile is when you find yourself a stranger to God and a stranger to His purpose. Exile is when you forget the Lord. Days without number. When I listen to Jeremiah's words to the nation of Judah, I think about myself. How many days have we gone without remembering the Lord? Just think about it. How many days has it been since you poured your heart out to your Father? How many days has it been since you opened up God's glorious book and read it? How many days has it been since you meditated upon the things above? How many days has it been since we reached out and served others the way Jesus did, in a meaningful way? How many days have we gone without remembering the Lord? How many days have we been in exile? It's at this time in the history of Israel that we meet the prophets. And the prophets were powerful voices who warned of the inevitable consequences of Israel's infidelity. I want you to listen to some of the warnings that the prophets gave to the nation of Israel. These were men from God who were telling them, this is what's going to happen if you don't change. And it's amazing how you can look at a situation from the outside looking in. And you look at what's going on, maybe it's in a friend's life, maybe it's in a relative's life, maybe it's a certain situation, and you're able to look at it from the outside, and you see, if you don't do some things differently, this is going to end horribly. If you don't make some changes in your life, this isn't going to end well. As parents, those are things we try to impress upon our children continually. Here are some choices. And here are going to be the consequences of those choices. And that's exactly what the prophets do for the nation of Israel. Let's look at Amos. Amos says, hear this word which the Lord has spoken against you. Sons of Israel, against the entire family which he brought up from the land of Egypt. One of Amos's first charges is that some people are being neglected while others are stockpiling surplus. Amos describes Israel as not knowing how to do what is right. These people who were once so close to God at Sinai are now light years away from Him. God, who stands for righteousness, is represented by a group of people who don't even know how to do what's right. What do you expect to happen next? Amos doesn't leave Israel hanging for an answer. This group of people who are supposed to be fighting for what's right, who are supposed to be representing God, we look at God. God is a righteous God. And he's being served by a group of people who don't even know how to do what's right. Well, this is what's going to happen. Amos is very clear. He's very graphic. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, an enemy, even one surrounding the land, will pull down your strength from you, and your citadels will be looted. I will also smite the winter house together with the summer house. The houses of ivory will also perish, and the great houses will come to an end, declares the Lord. Amos is very clear. He's very graphic. Judah, Israel, this is what's going to happen to you if you don't change. If you keep doing what you're doing, this is what's going to take place. There's going to be an enemy that's going to come in, and it's going to destroy everything that you built, everything that you have. This is what will happen to your nation because you have forgotten the Lord. The mighty fortresses, the lavish palaces, all of this that's been constructed on the back of forced labor by Solomon, it's all going to come crashing down. This was only one of many warnings for the Israelites. The warnings continue with other prophets. You look at Isaiah in Isaiah 1 verse 15. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. God sees their military bases. He sees their chariots. He sees their war horses. He sees everything that they've accumulated that he told them not to. Everything that he has forbidden the nation to collect, God sees it. The unacceptable cost of building an empire. If you move back up to verses 13 and 14, you find some more admonitions from Isaiah. This was bad enough. God tells them, I'm not even going to listen to you. This is how disgusted I am with your actions, with your behavior, with what you have done. When you close your eyes and you pray, I'm not going to listen. I will hide my eyes from you. You go back up to verse 13. The prophets didn't stop with condemning the empire, with condemning all of these things, the chariots, the horses, all of these things they built up. They reserved their harshest critiques for the religion that animated it all. Isaiah tells them, bring your worthless offerings no longer. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity in solemn assembly. I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. It's a strong language. This is God looking at His people. This is God looking at people who are bringing their offerings, who are coming to worship Him. And God says, I hate it. I hate what you're doing. Their religious practices, now get this. This is how God describes their religious practices. They've become a burden to me. God could no longer stand their worship. He hated it. He had had enough. I wonder how God feels about us. I wonder how God feels about our worship, about our lives, about our actions. There are so many similarities, so many parallels between Israel of the Old Testament and the church today. Israel, the called nation, the church, we are called to be God's people. One nation set apart for God, the church set apart for God. I hope you see what we're looking at here. In these lessons, week by week, we see what happens when God's people fail to be God's people. And so through all of this, it's more than just looking at Israel and saying, man, what a group of foolish people. How could you guys be so foolish? How could you forget God? How could you forget that you were brought out of slavery? How could you forget what happened in Egypt? How could you forget what happened at Sinai? Instead of just looking at Israel and saying, wow, you guys, feel sorry for you. What about me? At some point, don't we have to look at ourselves? At some point, don't we have to say, what about me? We know the expectations that God has for us, whether we're looking at worship, whether we're looking at how we live day by day. We know just like Israel, God has given us a purpose to go and share the gospel with the world. What an amazing purpose. It doesn't get any bigger than that. It doesn't get any more exciting than that. To be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ with a world that's lost and dying. What a responsibility. What an opportunity. What does God see when He looks at us? Does He see a group of people that are just going through the motions when it comes to worship? Does He see a group of people that just emphasizes the truth, but as far as the spirit and the heart, take it or leave it? What does He see when He examines our lives? What is God going to do with the nation who refuses to represent Him? That's where we're at with Israel. They're not being who they need to be. The prophets come in, they tell you need to change, or this is going to happen. What happens when they don't change? God is patient, but His long suffering won't endure forever. God has a plan. He had a plan for Israel. When His people reject His plan, what is He supposed to do? As a coach, when I'm coaching football or when I was helping with basketball, if you have a player that's out there just doing their own thing, that's not following the plan that you put in place, what do you do with that player? You bring him over there to the bench. You bring him over to exile. And you try to do some correcting. It's exactly what happens to Israel. They end up in exile. Through Amos, God delivers the crushing blow. Therefore, they shall now be the first of those who go into exile, and the revelry of those who stretch themselves out shall pass away. Make sure you see this picture. You got a nation. They're living it up. They're powerful. They're the new Egypt. Revelry. They're excited about where they are as a people. And here comes Amos, and he tells them, you will be the first to go into exile. Things changed in a hurry when God entered the scene at Egypt. Israel was rescued. They were freed. They were liberated. Things are about to change again in a hurry. You see, Israel had gone back, so now they will be sent back. Back to slavery, back to oppression, back in essence to the land they left. The physical address wouldn't be Egypt, but it might as well have been. They were in captivity in Egypt, and that's where they were going once again. How would you respond to such horrible news? Just imagine that you're the king at this time. And here's this prophet, Amos, telling you, this is what's going to happen. You're going to go into exile. All of these big things that you built, your palaces, it's all going to be destroyed. Put yourself in the king's shoes. What are you going to do? Well, this is what the king of the land says. This is Amaziah, the king at this time. He's speaking to Amos, the prophet, who's predicting what's going to happen. He says to the prophet, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah, and eat bread there, and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel. For it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Amaziah the king, a descendant of Solomon, says in response to Amos's prophecy, get out. I don't want you here. Go somewhere else and prophesy. The king didn't like the message, so he got rid of the messenger. How dare Amos bring these crushing words to my ear? You know, the scene is really overwhelming. A simple shepherd, Amos, confronting the most powerful man in the nation with the message that the king is about to lose it all. The empire, it's over. It will not last. Nobody listens. Nobody heeds the warnings. And the prophet is sent away. Moses, the prophet, had warned the people to not forget Egypt. Isaiah and Amos and others came to remind the people to remember Sinai. Israel is just like this king. They didn't listen. God wants to live among his people in the sacred union of the divine and the human, but they're not interested. And so in Chronicles, we read exactly what happens. They're taken away into Babylonian captivity. They don't remember Egypt. They've forgotten Sinai. And they're reveling in their might in Jerusalem. They're too comfortable. And so God suffers. God is patient. God waits. But there comes a point when nothing more can be done. And eventually the king of the Babylonians arrives to execute God's judgment. And that's what you see right here in 2 Chronicles 36. Israel, welcome to Babylon. Israel, welcome back to captivity. Israel, welcome back to slavery. Israel, welcome back to Egypt. Everything falls apart. Read these verses on your own time. Everything for Israel falls apart. The temple is destroyed. Many people are killed. Those who survive are carried off to a foreign land. And in Babylon, the survivors become servants. What is a servant who serves against their will? A slave. Everything fell apart for Israel. How did this happen? How did they end up back in captivity, back in exile? They forgot God days without number. Let this be a huge detour sign for you. We need to avoid their mistakes. We need to avoid this catastrophe. Because the very same thing can happen to us. Everything falls apart in our lives when we forget God. Our lives, our marriages, our families, our influence. Everything will fall apart if you forget God. Israel was once again in exile. The location was different. Babylon instead of Egypt. Their condition was the same. Distant from God. Exiles. You can be as close to God as you want to be. Now think about that. Right now in your life, because God sent His Son to die for us, you can be as close to God as you want to be. You can have an intimate relationship with God. You can talk to Him daily. You can read His Word daily. You can walk hand in hand with God every day of your life. He can be your best friend. He can be the one that you turn to no matter what's going on in your life, whether it's good or bad. He can be the anchor for your life. You can be as close to God as you want to be. You can also be as far away from Him as you want to be, living in exile. The choice is yours. If you need to come home, God will welcome you back. If we can do anything for you this morning, we invite you to come as we stand and sing together.